I'm Tom, and I believe the work you do really, really matters. You know, my heart's desire is to really encourage you with weekly wisdom for your workplace. And this wisdom is embedded in the Bible, in God's four-chapter story. And it's a story that helps us reimagine our Monday workplace with renewed purpose and meaning and hopefulness. A few years ago, I was invited to attend a large gathering of business and marketplace leaders. The plenary speaker was Ken Blanchard. He is a best-selling author, highly in-demand speaker, and can you imagine, he has written or co-authored more than 70 books. That's amazing. So you can imagine when Ken Blanchard came on the stage, this large ballroom went pin drop silent. I'll never forget how he began his plenary address. I will never forget this. He smiled and looked across the large packed ballroom, and he asked this question. When you look at human history and leadership, who comes to mind as the greatest leader? Pausing for a moment, he began to articulate quite a list, an impressive list of possibilities. Alexander the Great, Joan of Arc, Winston Churchill, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela. Then he paused, and he said words that I will never forget. He said, how you understand him as a teacher or religious savior, however, or as a brilliant leader, Jesus of Nazareth stands head and shoulders above all the rest. And then he said, there is no one who I have learned more from, and that you should learn more from about leadership and management and life than Jesus of Nazareth. Ken Blanchard made an unforgettable point, and that's something most in the crowd had not thoughtfully considered. Jesus was someone maybe they heard about on Sundays in church, yet pretty much viewed as being, well, kind of irrelevant in their life at work on Monday, let alone someone who can mentor them for their work. And you know, perhaps that's pretty much how you see Jesus. Jesus may make a lot of sense to you on Sunday. On Monday, not so much. Can I ask you a question? Who is your most important work mentor? Who do you look to encourage you, to give you needed perspective, to help you see blind spots, to impart the wisdom you need, to navigate your complex, chaotic, that ever-changing Monday world? You and I simply don't flourish in our work over the long haul or our career without wise input along the way. I once heard mentorship defined this way. I like this because I think it's so true. A great mentor is a shoulder to lean on, a brain to pick, and yes, a kick in the pants. There's a lot of truth in that. Someone who is all in on helping you become all you can be. I believe Jesus is the most important work mentor you will ever have. Jesus is there for you. Yes, I trust as your Lord and Savior. And he's also there for you as the master teacher, your coach, your workplace mentor. Like no one else does or can do, Jesus gets you and he gets your work. He knows what you're facing at work, that writer's block that you may be experiencing, the financial pressures you feel, the raise you really need, the long, long hours on that construction job, or that big deal that you're trying so hard to close. Jesus is there for you, not just on Sundays at church, but also in your Monday world at work. I don't know why I didn't see this for so long. I'm a pastor of good grief, but one day I was reading through the Gospel of Mark, as pastors are supposed to do, right? And I stumbled across a verse of scripture that absolutely stopped me dead in my tracks. You ever heard that experience? Mark chapter 6 tells us that Jesus, who was by then an itinerant rabbi, returned to his hometown of Nazareth. The crowd listened to Jesus teach in the synagogue, and they were stunned by their hometown boy displaying such, well, jaw-dropping wisdom. Why? Because in their eyes, Jesus was a carpenter. That is how they saw him. That is how they knew him. Here's how Mark records Jesus' grand hometown crowd. Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Judas and Joseph and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? So they were put off by him. But they did get something really right about him. And I don't want us to miss that. Their comment on Jesus being the carpenter affirms the skills of Jesus as a worker with his hands that he had developed for at least 20 years. Now, reflect with me for a moment, would you? On the significance of Jesus spending as much time, all this time on earth, working in a carpenter shop. Why? So much time being a carpenter. Imagine day after day, year after year, working long hours, again with sweat on his brow, dealing with difficult customers, managing a small business. That's what it was. Here was the very Son of God sent to earth on a redemptive mission of seeking and saving the lost, proclaiming the gospel. Yet he spent the majority of his years on earth making things in an obscure carpentry shop. We know from Luke's gospel that even at age 12, Jesus is demonstrating his off-the-charts rabbinical gifts to the very brightest and best intelligentsia minds in Jerusalem. So how did Jesus' unsurpassable knowledge and wisdom fit in with a carpentry career? At first glance, this doesn't seem to be a very strategic use of Jesus' extraordinary teaching gifts or his important messianic mission, does it? Why was it God the Father's will for Jesus the Son to spend so much time in a carpentry shop instead of spending many more years proclaiming the gospel in the Palestinian countryside? This doesn't make sense to me unless God's work in the world encompasses a bigger work story. From beginning to end, God's story of work locates Jesus primarily as a creator and redeemer, yet he is also a Nazarene carpenter. Jesus' 30 years working as a carpenter is also only coherent in my mind in light of God's larger work story in Scripture. Jesus puts real flesh on God's down-to-earth work story. When we remember chapter 1 of God's work story, the original creation design articulated in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we can see Jesus' first job fulfills the call of Adam to cultivate and keep the Edenic garden. Jesus' carpentry work serves as the second Adam, not only in his righteousness and his atoning work on the cross, but also his deeply human work of making things. Jesus spending 30 years in a carpentry shop only makes sense to me if we grasp God's four-chapter work story revealed in Scripture. That is, the ought, the is, the can, and the will story. The story of original creation, the corruption of that creation, the redemption of creation, and yes, the future restoration of creation, including human work, your work. And we hear in Paul's letter, first century, to the church at Colossae, that Jesus is redeeming not only eternal souls, that's really important, your soul and mine, but he's also restoring all things. All things, including our Monday work and workplaces. Absolutely, Jesus was much more than a carpenter, but he was not less. His work on the cross was primary, for sure, but his extensive multi-year work as a carpenter was also important to God's work in the world and to your work and my work. Think with me for a moment. The New Testament records Jesus spending only about 3 of his 33 years on earth as an itinerant rabbi, doing work comparable, we would say, to a pastor or evangelist or missionary. Again, how does this make sense? If your Monday work does not matter, if immaterial souls and an ethereal kind of playing harps on a cloud kind of heaven are the only things that really matter, And how can the Christian faith really be only about getting to heaven after we die and not at all about how we live and work every day? The incarnational pattern of Jesus' sinless earthly life speaks volumes about what it means to be truly and fully human, the good and true and beautiful life, and the high importance of your day-to-day work. It is truly stunning to contemplate The one who called each star by name is the very same one who joyfully worked with his hands in an obscure carpenter shop. Jesus clearly gets you and your work. He is the most intelligent person to have ever graced this planet, and he invites you to know him intimately and learn from him how to live your life like he would if he were you, including your work, whatever it is. Dallas Willard has shaped my life in wonderful ways. He's a longtime philosophy professor at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. And he rightfully makes the point that Jesus is the most intelligent person in your field of work, whether that is law, business, healthcare, education, or a trade. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus invites you, to an intimate, deeply relational apprenticeship with himself. Jesus will mentor you in all of life, and that includes your work. And Jesus invites you to learn from him, to live your life, to do your work like he would if he were you. I call this Jesus' great invitation, and it's found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. It is absolutely remarkable and transformational for your life. Jesus says to you, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And that rest idea there goes right back to Genesis. As a rabbi, he's talking about life as God designed it when God rested after his work. You will experience the life that he had for you back in the garden. And then how do you do that? He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." First century rabbis employed the yoke metaphor as a model of personal apprenticeship and how we learn from a wise and experienced master. The metaphor of the yoke came out of an agrarian work context where two animals like oxen were placed side by side to work together as a farmer plowed the field. Now, you may think of a yoke today as, let's just think of a McDonald's. They're all over the world, right? There's the golden arches, but turn it upside down. And with a bar over it, that's a yoke. From now on, when you see those McDonald golden arches, I don't want you to think of a Big Mac. Instead, I want you to think of a big mentor, and you as his apprentice. Jesus invites you to become his apprentice in all of life, to be your mentor, your life coach, your mundane world, in relationships, in your paid and unpaid workplaces. You know what? Jesus will teach you how to live your life like he would if he were you. And that is to enter and inhabit your workplace like he would, just like you. He is your wisest and most important life coach, your workplace mentor. Jesus is the most important and wise mentor. So here's the main thing I'd like you to take from our conversation today. I believe this is wisdom you can tuck into your mind and heart for your work week. Embrace Jesus' invitation. Enter his yoke of apprenticeship and learn from him. Make the life-giving and life-changing decision to apprentice your life to Jesus. Jesus desires not only to be your personal Savior and Lord, he desires to be your master teacher, your wisest and most important mentor in all of life, including your Monday work. Jesus is there for you, not only for forgiveness of sin, but also guiding you in his path for a flourishing life in your Monday world. And I am confident you can more fully experience Jesus as your master workplace mentor. And the way to begin is to read and reflect on the gospel accounts of Jesus' life. Perhaps start with the Gospel of Matthew. There are four Gospels, but start with Matthew. And when you get up in the morning before you go to work, read a chapter or two in the Gospel of Matthew. You could also read a chapter or two on a lunch break, but put your phone away, okay, or any other distractions. Say a brief prayer asking Jesus to reveal himself to you and give his wisdom to you. Now, as you read the Gospels, I want you to pay close attention to how Jesus lived, how he worked, and what he taught, gleaning wisdom from his precepts, yes, but also his practices and parables. If you pay close attention, you will find the gospel accounts are chock full of timeless wisdom you can apply today in your paid or unpaid workplace. Jesus is your most important workplace mentor. I would like to close this time with you in prayer. And as I conclude, I'm going to invite you to pray right where you are, to silently pray with me the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to remember Always remember, the Lord's Prayer was not given to you to only pray on church, in church on Sunday. It is a centering prayer for you as you enter your Monday world, your world of work, and as you live more fully into God's four-chapter work story. Lord and Savior Jesus, Nazareth Carpenter, you know what it's like to work in a broken world. And you invite us to know you and be known by you, to come to you and learn from you how to live our lives as you would if you were us. How grateful we are that you get us and you get our work in broken workplaces. You are with us in our work and you offer wisdom to us in our work. And as your apprentices, we ask you to teach us and to guide us with all the wisdom we are going to need today, this week, to embrace our work callings with a joyful confidence and hopeful expectancy. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Master Mentor, you taught us to pray, and we now pray with faith and hope. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much, so very much for joining me today. And may you sense in unmistakable ways the Lord's favor and presence as you partner with him in the high calling of your workplace.